All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay. Good. All right. It is so good to be here. And thank you for that special. That was very beautiful. Brother and sister, am I correct? Brother and sister, that's a great job. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. How many of you weren't here yesterday? This is your first day here. Anybody? Okay. How many of you were here yesterday? Okay, I just did that so you can raise your hands. All right. Okay, good. So, I promised a prize. So, the first one is, okay, the NBA player whose dad is from Bahamas. How many of you found out who it was? Oh, man. Y'all didn't come tell me. Only one, I think one person told me and then another person tried. So, that person is Klay Thompson. So the one who got it right this morning was Wise. Come on now, give him a round of applause. This is a Butterfinger. How many of you like Butterfingers? Well, you should have got the answer right. All right, congratulations. All right, and then the lady who is our track star, so to speak. How many ladies found her name? A couple of you. You didn't say nothing. I was downstairs playing volleyball. Oh, my word. All right. So her name is Shawnee Miller Weibo. And so the person I want to, is it Anna or Hannah? Anna. Okay, Anna. Anna, am I saying it right? Anna. Okay, come on up, Anna. I speak with a thing, so I sound like Anna. That's what I say, like Anna. Give a round of applause. There you go. All right, so that's what I'm going to do. So this is now for tomorrow. I'm not going to do it today. We got too much stuff going on, and I don't want to buy a bunch of candy. So we got a lot going on. So tomorrow, okay, I'll give you two, and it could be male or female, all right? But you can only get one, okay? So if you guess one and you found both, you can't get both. I got to give the prizes, okay, equal opportunity. All right. So the first one. Okay. Yeah, this one's simple. The first one is name the Bahamian. I can do one with sports and then one with the island. Name the Bahamian. Y'all know Derek Jeter? Y'all know Derek Jeter? Baseball? Y'all don't know Derek Jeter? Okay, when I was up in Fredericksburg, I was trying to use an illustration with baseball, and they were like, and this was the adults, not the kids, the adults. They were like, I was like, okay, give me a name of a pitcher on the, Virginia, well, I said Baltimore Orioles. I said, give me a name of a pitcher on the Baltimore Orioles. Okay, I said, okay, give me a picture of anybody in baseball. So what is it? Okay, all right. So anyway, I may not have to give this candy away. Derek Jeter, on his final hit as a major league player, there was a Bahamian who scored a run on his final at-bat, on Derek Jeter's final at-bat. So tell me the name of that Bahamian, former baseball player. Okay? See what happens here. All right. And the last one is this. People from all around the world come to the Bahamas to see a specific animal do a specific thing. I'm going to make this very difficult. So you guys got to really search this one out. People from all around the world come to the Bahamas to look at a specific animal do a specific thing. So you got to tell me what that animal is, and you got to tell me what that animal does. All right? Everyone got it? Good. Okay. All right. So let's do this. How many of you brought your Bible today? Raise your Bibles up if you brought your Bibles. Good job. All right? Good job. All right. Great. All right. So let's do this. Let us pray. Who remembers our verse? Okay. Treat them. Okay? Do you know it? Do you know it yet? Open. That's all you know. Okay. Okay. Oh, is it? Okay, hold on. What's the first letter of your name? Brad. Brady. Braden. Braden. Okay. Do you know it? Okay, say the verse. Okay, wondrous things out of thy word. That's very good, very good. All right, so let's all turn there. Let's get there. I want you to remember it, and you don't have to say it every time out loud in a service, once I leave, but I pray that it would be something you would pray in your heart, that, okay, God, Pastor Devane is coming to preach. Pastor Pittman is coming to preach. Pastor so-and-so is coming to preach. It could be in a Sunday school class. It could be a girl's Sunday school class, and Sister so-and-so is going to teach. And right before they teach, I want you to get into the habit of saying, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. All right? So let's say it together slowly, every head bowed, every eye closed. But if you need to open your eyes to read the verse, that's fine. Okay? Psalm 119:18. Let's say it about 5 times and try to memorize it. Okay? Psalm 119:18. Let's say it together. Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119:18. All right, say it one more time. Say it again. Psalm. Open thou. Psalm. All right, let's have the ladies do it this time. Okay, only ladies. Together, Psalm. All right, guys, let's do it together now, guys. Psalm 119:18. Now I want you to bow your head, close your eyes, and I want you to quietly pray that prayer and ask God to show you something from His Word that He wants you to see. So quietly in your heart, you pray, and then I'll pray and get us started. Father, this afternoon we are very thankful for every young person that you have brought out. Thank you for their willingness to be here. Thank you for their willingness to hear from you. And I simply pray that from myself to everyone else, you would open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would guide me as I preach. I pray that you'd give me the thoughts, give me the words. And I pray that everything that is said and done would bring you honor and glorification. We're very grateful to you for this time, for these meetings. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. So this morning I'm going to tell you about a guy, okay? This guy, I must have hit it. I hit it and missed it. Okay. All right, well, anyway, so I'll tell you about this guy. So just listen. I had his picture up here, but just listen. So there's a guy by the name of Jordan Cardella, and he is from Milwaukee. Okay? This is a true story, okay? Jordan Cardella had a girlfriend. His girlfriend broke up with him. Okay? He thought to himself, I want to get her back. So he comes up with a plan to get his girlfriend back. I'll give you 2 chances to guess what his plan was. Anybody want to guess? What was his plan? All right. This is... what's it start with? First letter. Kidnap. Okay. No, not kidnap. All right. But that's okay. All right. Let me let a girl try. Okay? This is Abby? No. Okay. Starts with a C. Okay, I'm lost. Grace Grog. So yesterday I'm sitting outside. She comes with some of her other friends running from the Grog people. And there's no Grogs around, and she decides to do a somersault in the back here as if she's like in some movie scene. So I remember G-R-G-R. Okay, so Grace. Okay, he didn't kidnap her. What do you think he did? Try to win her back by impressing her. Oh, those would be, well, the kidnapping one's a little spooky. But try to win her back. Hey, that sounds pretty good. Right? Okay. Let me tell you what Jordan decides to do. This is a true story. He's from Milwaukee. You can look it up online. Jordan says, I'm going to win her back through sympathy. And he says, the way I could get her back with sympathy is if I get shot. It's a true story. So, since he is a convicted felon, he knows he can't shoot himself because he's not supposed to be handling a gun. So he goes to one of his friends. The friend's name, let me make sure I get the name right. The friend's name, okay, so he went to Anthony first, but Anthony said no. He went to Michael. He goes to Michael, he says, Michael, I want to get my girlfriend back. I want to win her back through sympathy, so I need you to shoot me. Now, here was his plan. He wanted Michael to shoot him multiple times in his chest and back. This is a true story. You can look it up. Google it. Okay? I can show it to you. His friend Michael had enough sense, which that's kind of redundant, but his friend Michael had enough sense to say, no, I'm not going to shoot you multiple times in the chest and in the back. Instead, I'll shoot you in the arm. So his friend shoots him in the arm. They both get arrested. They were given, how much time did they get? They got 2 years probation and 100 years community service. Because neither of them were supposed to be playing around with guns. You ready? While in the hospital, and after the hospital, his girlfriend never showed up. He did all of that for absolutely nothing. Now, he had a motivation that was really stupid. But I'm sure he would have told you that his motivation was love. If you had asked him and said, why would you do something so serious? Why would you get shot? He would probably tell you, Jordan Cardello would probably tell you, because of his love for his girlfriend. Blah, 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 blah. I actually was going to preach this message later on. I was going to preach it tonight and kind of leave it as a thought for you. But then I began to think, and the Lord began to speak to my heart. Everything else that I'm going to preach pretty much hinges on this verse. Because it's not me asking you to do it, but the Word of God is going to ask you to do some things. In fact, to be very honest with you, the Word of God asked you to do some stuff last night. And so there's going to have to be a point in time where you're going to have to figure out, as young people, what is your motivation? What is your reason? The new term, I guess, nowadays is, what is your ethos? What is the purpose behind what you do? I saw you guys and girls playing today. I saw some folks playing basketball. They had a purpose for playing basketball. They wanted to play. They wanted to win. They wanted to get the ball in the hoop. Then they had some people playing the jousting, and the purpose of that game was to knock the person off of the little thingy, what you would call it. Then there's volleyball, and the purpose is to try to keep the ball up in the air. There's a purpose of that. Then there was what's this game called? Carpet ball?
Gaga ball.
Gaga ball? Okay, so you guys got Gaga Ball and Grog. Okay. Do y'all have English in the school here? Okay. So you have Gaga Ball, Wagga, Bogga, whatever. And the whole goal and the whole point is not to get knocked out, not to let the thing hit you below the knee. So everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. All right. If you're honest, don't raise your hand. Just bear with me. If you're honest, some of you are here because your parents want you here. Let's be honest. Don't raise your hand. Don't feel bad. Okay? My parents used to send us to church too. Or at least my mom did. Some of you are here because you literally had nothing else to do this weekend. But you have a purpose or reason. So if your purpose or reason, not just for coming to church, but for living for the Lord, what is your purpose for that? Why should you live for the Lord? Why should you sacrifice and give up things and not go to clubs and not smoke and not drink and not do this? Why? Well, because our church says no. Well, that's fine. Well, because it would be bad for me. That's fine. But what is your purpose? What is your motivation? And in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul gives us his motivation. So I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at Paul's motivation for serving God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says, okay, let me know when you have it. If you have it, say hallelujah. If you don't have it, say, oh my. All right. Everyone always says that. It doesn't matter if you have it or not, right? 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's what Paul said. The love of Christ constraineth us. And that's basically what we're going to look at today. We're going to be talking about constrained or consumed by the love of Christ. Now I want to say this first and foremost. When I first read this verse, the first thought came to my mind was, which love are we talking about? Because if you look at it, it could go this way. My love for Christ constrains me. Or you can look at it from this side and say, Christ's love for me constrains me. So I began to think, I was like, okay, well, which one is it? Is it my love for Christ that constrains me, or is it his love for me? And then I began to think, as probably some of you can think and agree with me with, when I think about my love for Christ, sometimes it's very weak. A lot of times it's very inconsistent. Sometimes it's very shallow. So the more I thought about this verse, I said, you know what? This isn't talking about my love for Christ. This is talking about Christ's love for me. And Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, what moves him to serve God with all his heart, all his soul, all his might, all his strength, he said, the love that Jesus has for me is the reason why I do everything for Jesus. So here today is my simple goal, my simple task. To, in a simple humanistic with limited knowledge, limited understanding and comprehension about how much Christ really loves us, my goal is to try my best to share with you how much God loves you. And once you figure out how much he loves you, that you'll in return serve him. So first of all, it says the love of Christ constraineth us. What kind of love are we talking about here? As we look at Christ's love defined, it is agape love. How many of you heard that term agape? You've been in church, Christian school, you've heard the term agape. There's different types of love. There's, who can tell me the other love, the other two loves? Okay, phileo. What is that? Brotherly love, all right? City of brotherly love, okay? Philadelphia, phileo. And then what's the other one? Eros, okay? More of a sensual, husband and wife, okay? That kind of love. Well, this isn't talking about that love. This is talking about agape love. And agape love is that love that is unconditional. That's what it means. Most of you in here have friends because someone was probably nice to you. And that's pretty normal, okay? Maybe you didn't have a Bible and they shared a Bible with you. Maybe you go to school here and you didn't have lunch, they shared lunch with you. Or they said, hey, you know, I don't know what teens say nowadays. Hey, dude. Want a ball? Let's go, man. Let's go, dude. All right? And whatever you girls do, I don't know. Okay? Somehow, someone was nice to you. You probably like your leaders, some of the leaders here. Not so much sure about Brother Josh. Brother Josh, we're going to have some heart-to-heart talks. Okay? You are the craziest person, I think, in this entire church. How can you be a Spanish soldier that speaks German? That's okay, just help me to understand that, please. Anyway, we'll talk later. But even your leaders, you say, well, I like Brother So-and-so because he's nice to me, but I don't like Sister So-and-so because she's nice to me. Or whatever the case is, you can have the... Most of us in here, we love people who love us. That's normal. That's not agape. Agape love is choosing to love someone whether they love you back or not. It is a decision to love that person. Well, what if I buy them a gift for Christmas and they don't buy me one for Christmas? You love them. What if I say nice things to them but they only say mean things to me? You love them. So agape love, if we understand that this example of Christ's love, it's agape love, meaning it's unconditional. But next, what does this word mean? The love. It says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, before we get here and understand the word constrain, because constrain means to hold together, to press on every side, I want us to think a little bit more about this love. I don't want you to turn there. I just want you to listen. Okay? I just want you to listen. I may have you turn to one, but I just want you to listen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Jesus loves us the way God the Father loves him. Just think, let that set in for a second. His love is divine. His love is not human. His love is not, I do this, you do that. His love is literally divine. He says, I love you like my Father loves me. His love is divine. His love is perfect. John chapter 15 verse 9 says, again, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Can you think of any problem or any situation where the Father's love for Christ has anything wrong with it? His love is perfect. His love is independent. I do want you to turn to this one because I had never really seen this verse. I want you to turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Okay, John chapter 11, verse, 35, a quick verse, right? Quote a verse, Jesus wept. Okay, John 11:35. So let me tell you what's happening so you get caught up for some of you who may not know. There was a man by the name of Lazarus. He was a friend of Jesus. Jesus was a friend to him and his two sisters. Lazarus got sick. He ended up dying. Jesus came, and he came during the funeral. And I want you to notice what it says. While this whole thing was going on, notice what it says in John 11:35. It says, Jesus wept. I've seen that verse before. Notice the next verse. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And I read that verse and I was like, oh. Here was Jesus. And here's the thing about it, with that whole account of Jesus and Lazarus. He would ultimately raise Lazarus from the dead. So he knew that Lazarus wasn't going to be dead for long. But Jesus wept. And I think sometimes we just think it's kind of like a weep. Like, but somehow, the Jews at that same time, watching everything unfold. I mean, this was like a movie scene happening. When they turned and they looked at Jesus crying and weeping over his friend that was dead, they came to one conclusion. And the one conclusion was this. Jesus loved Lazarus. And it was almost like, hey, you see this? Whoa. He really loved him. Young person. Jesus loves you. And I believe if we could in some ways kind of have like a window to see how much Jesus really loves us, like the Jews saw when he was looking at Lazarus' dead body, I believe people would say, whoa, how he loves these young people at temple. His love is overwhelming. His love is final. You know, the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, we use it a lot of times. When we talk about a person losing their salvation and how you can't. Romans chapter 8, Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, none of those things I just mentioned, can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. When Christ says he loves you, it is final. In fact, here's another verse. John 13, verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus will never give up on you. Jesus will never stop loving you. And maybe some of you cannot comprehend this because in your life it's been difficult to understand the love that people who are supposed to love you give you. And maybe you don't get the right kind of love from a father, or maybe you don't get the right kind of love from a mother, or maybe you don't get the right kind of a love from people who are supposed to love you. So you kind of are very hesitant. You're kind of very standoffish to open up your heart to get hurt again. But I'm here to tell you, you can open up your heart to Jesus because he will love you to the very end. There is not one thing you can do to make Jesus stop loving you. He loves you. And Brother Nathan, as I was thinking about this message and thinking about I was between this and another message. And let me just say this. Some of you want to end your life because you don't think nobody loves you. And your life, you think your life has no meaning and no purpose. And I am here to tell you this morning by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God's Word. If nobody else in this world loves you, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. So Paul looked at this love that Jesus has for us, and Paul came to this conclusion. The love of Christ constrains me. Like we said, the word constrain means to hold together. It has this idea, to press. If you've ever seen someone walking with police officers, and there's one police officer on this side, one police officer on this side, and the person may not even want to move, but the police officer is just moving them. They're trying to fight it away, you know. Oh, man, don't touch me, man. Don't touch me. And they're trying to fight away. But the police are stronger than he is or that she is. And they actually move him where they want to move him. Here's what Paul is saying. The love of Christ moves me to do things I wouldn't even normally do. And so when people look at Paul and say, Paul, why would you take so much beating? Why would you take so much pain? Why would you take so much rejection? Why, Paul? I wouldn't take it if it was any other thing, but I can tell you this. When I think about how much Jesus loves me, it forces me to do things that I wouldn't normally do because of the love of Christ. It constrains me. I believe when he looked at this, he recognized certain things, because a lot of us here today, if we're honest, there are two reasons why we do things. Fear and hope. We fear punishment and we hope for reward. I mean, even in school, right? Why do you make good grades? Well, I don't want my parents to, you know, take away my privileges, and I don't want to make my parents upset. So we do it because, hey, well, I don't want to make no one mad. I don't want to get in any trouble. And we also make good grades because we hope for some sort of reward. Mom, Dad, I got a 4.0. I got a 3.5. I got a 3.0. Let's go out to eat ice cream, or let's go do something. That's why we do things. We do things because of fear of hurt or punishment and hope of reward. Here's what Paul said. I don't do what I do for those things. I do what I do because when I think about how much Jesus loves me, it forces me to do things that I would never do. Some of you right now, you're very smart, and you could have any job in the world you want. And you could have a job or start a business, and you could make a whole lot of money and be very successful. But God doesn't want you to make a whole lot of money. God may want you to be a pastor or missionary teacher or nurse. He may want you to do something that goes totally against everything that you were planning on doing. And you say, well, why should I do it, Brother Kwame? You do it because of the love that Jesus Christ has for you. He says, the love of Christ constrains me. It makes me do things that I wouldn't normally do. The love of Christ impacted his service. Paul would serve God no matter what. Didn't matter if people accepted him. Didn't matter if people threw him in prison. Didn't matter. Paul served God because of the love that Jesus had for him. It should affect your service. It should affect my service. Well, why do you come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and youth activities, and don't you just want to sometimes sleep in? Sure. Sure, I want to sleep in sometimes. I'm not going to tell no lie. Do you just want to stay home and watch some football games sometimes? Sure. I enjoy football. Love football. But then why don't you do it? Because when I think about what Christ and how much Christ loves me, it motivates me. It pushes me to do things that I don't even want to do because of his love for me. It affected his service. It affected his worship. Do you recognize that when you have a chance to pray in the morning time, you're talking to someone who loves you so much? I got to show you this verse. I got to show you this verse. Go with me to Psalm chapter 139. This was actually the message I was going to preach. And I just didn't get peace about it. But I just want to share this with you because I feel like the Lord wanted me. He brought this to my mind just now, so I said, I'll be obedient. In Psalm chapter 139, the first verse says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Do you recognize? Look up this way. Look up this way. Do you recognize that God knows everything about every single one of you? Do you know that we sometimes wear certain clothes to hide certain things that we're ashamed of, or we go certain places or don't do certain things because of something that, hey, we just don't want anyone to know that about us, or we have secrets in our lives, things that have happened to us, and we don't want anybody else to know, so we talked about it last night a little bit, hiding some things. Do you know that Jesus Christ knows every single thing about you? And here's what he says. That's Psalm 139, verse 1. Then drop down to verse 17. It says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You may want to underline and highlight that verse. You know what that verse says? If we were to try to count how many times God thinks about you, we could go to the beach and count all the sand, and that wouldn't be enough. You know that God thinks about you when you're sleeping? You know God thinks about you when you're crying? God thinks about you when it's day? God thinks about you when it's night? God thinks about you all the time. You say, why does God think about me? Because he loves you. And when you love somebody, you think about them. You are on the mind of God. God cares about you. So Paul said, that love constrains me. It affected his service. It affected his worship. It affected his holiness. He wants to live right. Why? Because this God loves me, so I want to live clean. I want to live right. It affected his faithfulness. He wants to be faithful. Why? Because God is so faithful to me. Jesus is so faithful to me. He never stops loving me. And it affects his will. I don't know about you, but I wanted to be a marine biologist. I had my life planned out. And then came God and said, nope, you're not going to be a marine biologist. You're going to be a preacher. He changed my will, and I had to give up my will to a person who loves me to the end. And you say, okay, preacher, you say God loves me. What constrains you? What is the example? You read all of these verses, preacher, and I like those verses. Those were nice. I say, preacher, how do I know God loves me? I'm the least important in the youth group in your mind. I'm the youngest, so I don't have all the information. Or I just recently got saved, and I don't go to the Christian school, or whatever the case is why you think you are where you are. And you say, preacher, just show me something. Give me something so that I know that Jesus loves me. That's how much he loves you. He loves you enough to go through excruciating pain on a cross to show you his love for you. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. I believe if Paul were in here now, Pastor Devane, and Paul was sitting in the front here, I'd say, Paul, come up here and tell these teenagers, why are you still serving God? I think Paul would say, because of how much Jesus loves me. On Monday or Tuesday of this week, I'm going to be gone. Pastor Devane, God could call him, move him. The other leaders, they go to their homes, they go with their families. And it's just you. You may graduate from the youth group and now you're ready for college, ready for whatever the Lord has next. And you're going to come to some lonely points in your life and you're going to have to figure out, why do I do what I do? And as we look at some other things going on for the rest of these next 2 days, it's going to be some stuff that's difficult, some stuff that's hard, some stuff that's not so hard. But you're going to have to come to the conclusion, why am I going to listen to this man preach from this book in this place to tell me how to live my life? And I hope you have come to the conclusion that you obey this book and serve this Jesus because of how much he loves you. And I pray that the love of Christ would constrain us, would move us to do things we wouldn't normally do because of how much Jesus loves us. I do want us to have a very simple invitation today. And my invitation to you is this. You say, preacher, I want the love of Christ to constrain me. And by the way, I didn't say this part. Here's one of the things that you do. Ask Pastor Devane or ask one of the youth leaders to help you to find a Bible study on the love of Christ. And just go through the love of Christ and for yourself, see how much God loves you. And that should be a challenge that all of you should take. Memorize verses on the love of Christ. Read verses on the love of Christ. Study them. Say, I want to learn about the love of Christ. Ask Pastor Devane for a good book on the love of God or the love of Christ. And really understand and get a better understanding of how much he loves you. But I'm going to ask you this morning or this afternoon to do this. If God has spoken to your heart and you say, I want the love of Christ to constrain me, I will ask you to come forward when we bow our head and when we close our eyes. And I want you to talk to your Savior. Thank him for his love, but ask him to help you to understand his love even better so that his love would constrain you. Heavenly Father, I don't completely understand how much you love us, how much you love me. To be very honest, sometimes I don't even understand why, but you do. And I pray, God, that your Spirit would help these young people at this young, tender age to understand how much you love them. God, there might be one who's thinking that their life is not valuable at all. But I pray that they would see the value of life because of your love towards them. And I pray that their motivation would not be for anything other and the love of Christ that would motivate them to live for you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if God has spoken to you about having a greater love for him, or to be very honest, just thinking about his love for you, and you want to be motivated by that love, I'm going to ask you to come forward at this time and just spend some time in prayer to that same God.